And a really interesting thing happened this week with this opening scripture. And I'm going to just read the first one, and then I'll talk to you about something that happened as a result of these scriptures. It's from Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4. Interesting now, because somebody had read a scripture out of Isaiah chapter 40. And so the focus now is in Isaiah again in the 40s. But this one is 46 verse 4. And I have it in the New Living Translation. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I think that's speaking to some of us. The rest of you, don't worry, you'll catch up. I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. That scripture speaks volumes, because there are people today who are very isolated. They live alone. One of their mates has gone on to be with the Lord, and the other's left behind. And as people age, and maybe some of you can relate to this, maybe we're not quite old enough yet to be ancient, but we still come to that place where, and I've seen this in people's lives, where they begin to feel like, there's nothing much more I can do anymore, you know, physically, or they feel not useful. They feel like they just want to go home to be with the Lord. And the fact of the matter is that if you're breathing, you can still pray. You can still be effective. You can still do things, even though maybe you can't be Clark Kent anymore, you know, and the Superman, and we don't have phone booths anymore and stuff like that. But there's still things that we can continue to do. And I say we because I'm including myself in this as well. But these scriptures have to do with aging. And as soon as I had all this, I said, gosh, why am I talking about all these aging scriptures? And I showed my list of faith, because I knew this Wednesday. And I says, if this is really, as all the other opening scriptures have been, they connect with other things in the congregation. I says, I'll bet one of the songs on Kenny's song list is going to be Ancient of Days. And look at what, the first one. This is so phenomenal how week after week these things seem to connect. Oh, thank you for being faithful to that. And I didn't call him and tell him either. I wanted to. All right, and in the Amplified, this is the same verse. Even to your, and it says your old age, I am he. So if you're feeling a little older today, or just, I don't know what you're supposed to feel like when you get older. I still feel young. I'll be 78 in a few months. I never thought I'd live past my 40s, and some of the things I did crazy in my life, and I can relate to the young man in the prison, like Jelly Roll. Oh my goodness, he's got tattoos all over, but what a testimony. He dealt in fentanyl and all that kind of stuff. He spent time in prison, but now he said, I don't want to be a part of the problem, I want to be a part of the solution. And that may be a wonderful opportunity for that man. You watch him, I will bet he'll have a prison ministry among the other inmates there before long. Because once you got that I'm free bug, it's contagious. Yes, I prophesy that he will be your helper in that place when you're not there.
Okay. I don't want to distract too much here, but while we were sharing about deliverance, one of the other inmates, we had quite a circle of guys, and he brought up the story of Acts in Ephesus, where the seven sons of Sceva. He said, "Why couldn't they drive out the demons?" So we drive the demons out, and so we talked about how you have to have Jesus in you. But then that passage goes on and talks about how the people burned all their scrolls and books of sorcery,
yes.
And it was a huge revival broke out. And as this guy was just getting delivered, and they're talking about that story, I was like, Lord, as people burn their past,
yes,
I just believed, I hold on to that, that as people burn their past, there's going to be a great move. And now you're speaking the same thing, and I just want to, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, Joe.
Speaking of jelly roll, he appeared before Congress very recently.
Yes. Yeah, he hasn't stopped since he got saved and delivered, because you just can't shut a person up like that. Faith and I knew a heroin addict in Naples, Florida, and he instantaneously got delivered from many, many years of heroin addiction. This is not part of our opening scripture, but by golly, it's flowing, so we're going to go with it. You couldn't shut that guy up. He was all, he tried to get into other churches and tell people how the Lord delivered him from heroin. He should have been dead. And he just, all just on his own, he just went out and started telling these wonderful accounts of his deliverance, because that's what it's going to take to be free from some of these things. They're not like some of the drugs we did. We could take them today and tomorrow would be all right if we survived the night. So our ages, in a sense, is relevant, because some of us grew up in the 60s. And that a lot of those things began to surface in our in the 60s, the years of the 60s. Not our 60s, but the years of the 60s. This is fun. I knew it would be. But in the Amplified, even to your old age, IMP, God never changes, even as we age. And this is such a wonderful hope for all of us, because, like I said, the younger ones maybe not can quite relate to some of these things yet. But we're like forerunners of your future. We're here among you now. You know, and we still have a purpose. We're like markers in a time zone to you. That what the Lord has done in our lives, we want to share that with you. Some of you are like, you know, we're brothers and sisters, but some of you are like spiritual children to us. And so as we grow and we age and we go through all of these changes that the Bible talks about, we still got a lot left in us to be an encouragement to you, and to know how to pray for you, and to know how to help you along the path of life. Should you fall in a pit, the good news is you don't have to stay in it. There's hope and there's purpose. So be of good cheer with all of your gray hair, and if you don't have any left, can't take it with us. Praise the Lord. Let's see. I have made you. Be assured, I will carry you and I will save you. That was the Amplified version. And now, Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. And thank you, Aaron, for pulling those up ahead of time. I appreciate that a lot. My son, or my child, or my daughter, forget not my law or teaching. I want to stop there. Different people over the years that I visited in the hospital or retirement homes or funeral homes. I mean, yeah, funeral homes for sure. That was a slip. Too late to tell them anything then. But the fact that we don't forget the word. I know circumstances in people's lives where they're in an environment like, for instance, in a hospital for any length of time. And they become familiar with the names of medicines that they're required to have, or medical terms that the staff in the hospital talked to them about. And little by little, that becomes their new vocabulary. And it's kind of sad, but it's really true. We have to talk about that from time to time. As long as we live, we may not know every verse in the Bible, but the ones that you do know, guard those and treasure those, because the day will come when that might be the only thing that you can remember, and you grab onto it because it's the word of life. And this is a process of aging, as sometimes people forget a lot of things. But the word of God is part of our spirit man. And that's where you've got to go to remember these truths. You have a spirit that's just loaded with the word. Actually, when Jesus moved in, the whole Bible moved in. I don't know if you realize that or not. It's all in there. And it's the Holy Spirit that draws from that well and brings you revelation, brings you understanding of the word. As it's brought to you, it's He who brings that understanding and revelation. And He will always do that. And even He encourages us. Do not forget my law and my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. All of the word is in our heart now. Everything God said, there were 613 official commandments. But there's a lot of other things that He told us to do too. And as a father, for length of days and years of life worth living, and tranquility, inward and outward, and containing through old age till death, these shall they add to you. This is a really precious promise in here, that if we don't forget His word, this is one of the benefits of that. Length of days and years of a life worth living. You've heard me say honestly before you, I never knew such a quality of life existed until I got saved. I really didn't. Was in my early 30s. And hell was at my doorsteps. And it's like I didn't really care. I didn't even think about those things.
Rick, where are you?
Yeah. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. One way or the other, the word is going to be here. Yay. But think about the value and the worth now. The word of life. Jesus is the word. The manna that came down from heaven that sustained them and gave them eternal life. We have the joy of having this in written form and many forms, but back then, they didn't have anything. They couldn't write it down. They couldn't wear a microphone and get it recorded like we can do. Whenever God spoke it, they had to get it. Now we have the benefit. We can go back and read what God said to them. But length of days and years of a life worth living. And then the peace that comes with it, tranquility. I'm just going to throw this out to you, and you can take turns. Tranquility, what does that mean to you? What do you see?
Peace?
Calmness? I see a nice deep pool of water that's just, before the wind gets on it and stirs the surface. Mary, you have a pond out back. You've seen some tranquil water in that pond, haven't you? Yes. Yeah, so, and I think that visualizing sometimes these truths, that God has given that to us. He's provided that for us. We have these assurances that our life was never intended to be turmoil and chaos. But things go on all around us. But this is something that's down on the inside of us, and we're learning how to depend on that more and more and more every day. every month, every year that goes by that we're privileged to live, that peace and that tranquility is something very precious in a world around us out of control. What advantages we have. Those are really good keepers in our lives. And they'll last, God said, until we go home to be with Him. These are irrevocable. His gifts, His ministries, the things that He's provided for us. He doesn't take them away from us. They're yours for the keeps. It says tranquility, inward and outward. The inner man, the spirit man, to be at peace, calmness. Outwardly, sometimes one or two of us lose it once in a while. But the fact of the matter is, you can go back to it. That's the good part. We don't have to stay in something. Proverbs 20, 29. Chapter 20, verse 29, Amplified. Okay, you younger guys, here's your chance. This one's for you. This is why I asked Andy and Jesse to put those air conditioners in the windows last summer. You see, it says the glory of young men is their physical strength. I gloried in that. I used to be able to go into the library, carry one out by myself, and put it in the window. Wisdom tells me don't do that anymore. You have young men among you, and their glory is letting them do the things I used to be able to do and wise enough not to. So thank you. Thank you so much. That was, you have no idea how helpful that is to our whole congregation, because we all benefit by that. And I know they're heavy, and I'm sorry that your muscles ached for a long time. But we sure enjoyed your labors, all of us did, in the summertime when it gets so hot in here. And then the other part, and the honor of aged men is their gray head, representing wisdom and experience. And I like that, because these are things that I never treasured as a kid. I never saw that. And even in my 20s, early 30s, I never looked at life like that, because when you're not saved, you don't think about it. You live every day for today, usually for yourself, and you don't think about things like this. But as we age, and look at how that word percolates in your life all of these years. Some of you probably been saved even longer than I have. And you have that down inside of you, and how over the years, that's your anchor. The anchor to your soul. When everything else, like we talked about the ship in the ocean last week, we're like that, going through the sea of life. But we have the Word, and it's down on the inside of us. And out of that, God is the author of the wisdom that we have. And I'm thankful that once in a while somebody will ask us. They don't like it if we just tell them. But if I'm asked, I love to share a lot of the things that I've accumulated in my life. And I'm thankful that God let me live long enough to appreciate those things and to be able to talk about them today with you. Because you're the same place, you know? So put your hand up there and say, thank you, Lord, for my gray hair. Yes. That's my glory.
How? We just thank Him for wisdom.
Well, we have that too. And experience. Now, here's this next one. Faith and I got saved 2 days apart, so we've grown together in the Lord, and that doesn't happen for a lot of people. But we've had that privilege. And before we had children, we didn't want any kids because they'd crash our drug parties. They'd just, we were selfish with our time. But this was something we grabbed onto because this affects our children. Psalms 37:25, New Living Translation. Once I was young, and now I'm old. I'm going to put older. I can still jump over a chair or two. Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned. Old King James says, the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging for bread. You know, that is so meaningful to us who, at that time in our lives, we went through that party season in our lives and we weren't particularly thrilled with the thought of having a house full of kids at that time. But after we got saved, everything changed. And we saw this promise that there's a lot of promises that God will give us, even in Psalm 91, length of days he will give us. It's a life of living for him and in him. But the promise even goes to our children. We began believing that our children would never be homeless on the street like I was at one time in my life. I didn't like that. And I said, I will walk or move or go someplace to do something to get out of having to live like that ever again. And we began to see our children. And we began to speak scriptures like this over their lives. Psalm 112 is another one that Faith and I used over our children. They're very meaningful because we learn to speak the words of scripture over their lives and into their lives. Because we're releasing the life of God into them. Whenever you speak the word over your kids, your grandkids, that they're not going to be begging for bread. They're not going to be in poverty. They're not going to be broke, busted, and disgusted. That they're going to have a life of provision, that God will sustain them and give them these things because he said he would. I don't know how he does it. I don't know where it's going to happen. But I'll tell you, our kids have the best jobs that you could ever possibly have. And from day one, they've worked faithfully in their job. And our son has the same job he got when he graduated from Vermont Technical College in Randolph. He got a job in Chester at News Bank. And all these years, he still works there from anywhere he wants to work in the whole country. And that was a promise. And our daughter works in a credit union in Oklahoma. We don't get to see them very often, but we're so proud of them. Bethany's first job was working at the Fullerton Inn, washing pots and pans and dishes in the kitchen with no air conditioning and no fan. And she suffocated in there, but she gave them her word that she'd do that until school started up again, and she wanted to quit. And we talked about it, and I said, well, you can, but we're believers, and you gave those people your word. And it's important that you keep your word. Because people count on us. When we tell somebody something, they expect we're going to follow through with it. She did. And I can tell you, God took her from the dunghill to the mountaintop. Because she kept her word. And she's been faithful all of these years. We've taught those principles to our kids. We can't teach them everything there is about life to know. But you know, we can teach them about faithfulness. We can live that before their lives as an example because the first person your kids want to be like generally is the ones they look up to were parents and grandparents. So these principles of our faith, you might not realize at the time the effectiveness that they have on our kids. But they really, really do. And I'm really thankful. And the scriptures, this is one of them, that we won't see our children on the street begging for food because they both got saved and God is their provider too. So these are all precious treasures just in a few little scriptures, that yes, we're aged, but you know there's great benefits in that. So I'm going to embrace it. I'm not in a hurry, but I'm going to embrace who I am in Him. And I'm thankful for the privilege that He gives me to come here every week, week after week, and month after month, and year after year, that we can open up the bread of the Word. I'm not very formal, in case you haven't noticed, but the Word is the Word, and it ministers life to every one of us. And thank you. This is a joy to come here and be here every week. It's not a burden, and it's not a job, and no, I ain't quitting. Thank you for that Word. I've never seen it as a job. Quitting would have happened a long time ago. But not until after Huggy Break.